We were married. I knew how to play guitar. He didn't. He knew how to play the accordion, so I taught him a few chords, and we went from there. And we would write music, and some of them were not so good. And, you know, we write these hokey little songs. Well, in 1990, when I was preparing for this, I remembered a song that I wrote that I had played a couple times, and it was It was this song called "What Would You Have Me Do?" And I don't know if you guys can see those words from back there, but it says, "Would you have me live my life just as I am, touching those I meet from day to day? Or would I spend my time nurturing the children of this world? What would you have me do to follow after you?" And so that's always been my heart cry. And then I look at this and I'm like, why would I put in there nurturing the children of the world? But here I am, nurturing the children of the world, you know, with this little preschool and kindergarten over here. And So in the year 2000, let's see, was it 1995, I started college. I was 35 years old. A girlfriend of mine, Dilly Kennedy, said she was going back to college. And I'm like, going back to college? I've never been. So I went with her and did the whole placement testing and started college and loved it. And I'd always wanted to be a teacher, so I thought, this is my time. My kids were in school. So I went to Cuesta and went to Cal Poly. I graduated in 2000. I got a job in King City teaching second grade while I finished my credential, and then I moved to the middle school, and I taught for a total of 7 years in King City teaching middle school math, and always trying to get a job here in Paso, because the commute is like 50 minutes one way. So I was always trying to get here, and I really wanted to teach at Daniel Lewis Middle School. And so I got a job finally in 2007, and I taught for 1 year at Flamson Middle School. The following year, they transferred me to Daniel Lewis. It was like, woohoo, I'm here. I had a great principal, Rick Euler, several Christians that were on staff. John Scribner was my partner in crime for preschool algebra. Preschool algebra, yeah. So, you know, I thought I had arrived. I was happy. My commute was short, you know, and life was great. And October of 2008, I was sitting on the front row over here. And it was warm like it's been here, and the doors were open over there. And I was just sitting waiting for the Wednesday night service to start, and this thought came to mind, and this is what it was. It says, you're going to open a preschool here. I just shook that off, and I told Gary on the way home in the car, I thought, I had this crazy thought that I'm going to open a preschool here. I thought, how ridiculous is that? I'd have to wipe noses and change diapers, and, you know, I don't want to do that. I like middle school. They get my sarcasm, you know. I don't want to do that. And so I didn't do that at all until the following year. Whoops, backing up. Okay, so I have my job in, next slide, there we go, March of 2009. So this is just like, 6 months later or something, 4 months later. Rick Euler calls me into his office, and at that year, that was the big budget cuts that they just started. I was low man on the totem pole for Paso Robles Schools for a math teacher, and I was pink slipped. And I sat in his office and I cried, and he reminded me that Paso Robles School District was not my provider, that God was my provider. And so I was encouraged for a bit, but I'm like, well, I got to get a teaching job. So I started applying, you know, and the first place I applied was King City. So in July of 2009, I interviewed for King City, even with some of my colleagues that I had taught with. For 7 years, I left there on good terms, thinking, I got this. No. The very next day, the principal calls me and says, Terry, says, I can't offer you a job. You didn't interview well. And I was like, what? You guys know me. You know, I helped write curriculum calendars. We did all this, you know, collaboration. I was just like, what? And so I had a good cry again. And so, and I grieved. You know, as school started in 2009, I'm on unemployment. I interviewed for San Luis Coastal. No, didn't get it. Templeton, nothing. And so I'm like, what is going on? This is just bizarre for me. And I was just heartbroken, and I grieved, and I would cry, and I knew school was starting, all school supplies, and it was just awful. And so finally in November, I gave in, and I thought, well, maybe God wants me to open a preschool here. This is over a year later. So I'm dragging my feet, doing everything I can except for opening a preschool here, because I didn't want to deal with preschoolers. I didn't know anything about opening a preschool. I didn't even know, you know, nothing. I knew nothing about it. I knew middle school math. That was my forte. And so I started Googling, how do you open a preschool? And so somehow I stumbled across an orientation meeting that I needed to attend in order to get a license. And so in November, I went to that orientation. It was a whole long day. You stuffed your brain through all kinds of stuff, and I was more confused than ever. But I was determined that this was what God had for me because I couldn't get a job teaching. So I began the process of licensing and all that, and I thought, well, great. Then August, I'll open the preschool August of 2010. That was my plan. So I realized that to get a director's permit to open a preschool, I had to have more units. So I had to go back to Cuesta. I spent another semester at Cuesta, and I took a couple online classes and a class down at Hancock, and I knew early July that I was not going to be able to open this preschool. So I did that part. So July, guess what? I interviewed again for King City because I knew I had another year, and savings was going, unemployment just wasn't making it happen for us. So I interviewed again for King City, and I got the job. And I told them I only want it for a year because I'm opening a preschool August of 2011. And so I was surprised that they even hired me for 1 year, but they did, thank goodness. But it was the worst year ever teaching. And I knew that I was done with teaching middle school. They were the worst group of kids. I had gangsters. I had to worry about knives and guns and fights in my classroom. It was the pits. And there was no teaching that happened in there. It was all crowd control. And so, so I was very thankful that God was changing my direction. And I really wished that I would have been like Noah. You know, God told Noah, you're going to build this humongous ark. It's going to be this wide, this long. You're going to put a roof on it, and you're going to pitch it with all this tar, and you're going to put two of every animal in there, and you're going to put enough food in there for you and all the animals and do all this thing. And what does Noah say? All right. You know, this humongous thing, all God asked me to do was open a little preschool, you know, and I had to drag my feet, and Noah was so obedient. But I wasn't like Noah. I was trying to do everything but open a preschool. So let's see, where am I at? I'm there, did that. Okay, so this is, believe it or not, if you can see, this is what that area out there between the buildings looked like. May of 2011, that's Bobby Horn there. He was the mastermind. He designed and built and orchestrated the whole play yard. That was him with an upside down of can of paint, and when he was putting where the boat was going to be, where the little palapa is and the treehouse and all that. And that's right before him and Gary started taking out sod. And I do want to thank you because I know that's a huge space that could have been used for all kinds of things, but we took it over. And thank you for letting us do that. Thank you for letting us taking over all the classrooms downstairs and redecorating and also for anybody that wants to use the church during the day, you realize that there is a little sticky thing now because of licensing and all that kind of stuff that you just can't come in. We have all the gates are locked, and now you need to know the code to get in there. So thank you for letting us do that. But understand that we are touching little lives of children that have been taken from their parents, their foster children being raised by grandparents. We've had several little Hindu children that have come in that have heard the story of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again and being alive, you know. One little guy, he's still dear to my heart. He said, Jesus is alive, and his parents were Hindu, you know, but he knew that story. He could tell you that story with the children's Bible book. He would say it word for word. And just know that you're touching all these little lives, these broken little lives of a child that's being raised by a single parent because the other parent doesn't want them. And it goes on and on. Abused children, CPS has been here, all those kinds of things. But just know that they're here in our care. And while they're here, this is their home. From 7:30 to 5:30, Monday through Friday, some children are here, all those hours. This is a home to them. So thank you for allowing us to love on them and teach them God's word. Moving on, I wanted to, back up. I wanted to talk to you about Jonah because I kind of felt in some respects like Jonah because I kind of dodged what God was asking me to do. You know, Jonah, and God didn't ask him to change his career. He just said, I want you to go to these people over here in Nineveh, and I just want you to tell them to turn away from their wickedness and follow after me, and then life will be good. And he's like, oh, no, and he ran away from God. You know, the story, gets in the boat, jumps in the ocean, this fish swims and swallows him up. And God finally speaks to him, and again, for a second time, and go to Nineveh, and he finally goes. So at least I didn't have to get swallowed by a fish, but at least that's comforting to me to know that other people react to God's voice the same way. And there's another one. It's Moses. And when you read chapters 3 and 4 in Exodus about Moses and his whole conversation with God about going to the Israelites and telling them, you know, I am sent you. And then he has to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. We need to go out here and make sacrifices. The whole time God's telling him what he needs to do, he's saying, but suppose they don't listen to me. And then he finally says, but send somebody else. At one point he tells God, just send somebody else. I'm not the man. I don't know how to speak. And then finally it's like God says, okay, I'm going to send Aaron, and he's going to help you out. He's going to speak. I'm going to speak to you. You're going to speak to Aaron. Aaron's going to speak to the people. So, I mean, Moses went through this whole thing, you know, arguing with God about listening to his word and doing what God's called him to do. Jeremiah did the same thing. And this is an interesting scripture because I wrote a song about this first chapter of Jeremiah years and years back in the early 90s when we were doing all our funny little songwriting. And Jeremiah, he says, I'm too young. You know, I don't know how to speak. Don't send me. And the song that I wrote says, and do not say, I am young, Lord. And do not say, you cannot speak. For in my mouth I will put my words. Be not afraid, but go forth in my name. And so that rings forth to me all along, my whole life since Gary and I have been married. It's like, you're going to do this. Just go and get out there and do it. I'm going to be with you. I got your back. I'm going to give you the words to say. And I think that's not just for me or Gary or for Moses or for Jeremiah. It's for all of us that have called for God to do his will. We all have a plan. He has a purpose for all of our lives. And maybe you're not called to be a pastor or a teacher or a preschool director, but you certainly have relationship with people in your life, people you work with. God's called you to be obedient and listen for his voice. Now, when I heard God's voice, it was just a thought in my head, you know. I'm thinking Moses and these other guys may have got something more audible, you know, like Moses set my people free, you know. But I don't know, because it really doesn't say. It just says that he heard them, you know. But when God speaks to me, it's usually that little thought, you know, if I'm on my way out the door, you're going to need your iPad. Oh, no, I'm not going to need my iPad. I'm going. And then I get to work and I need my iPad. So I've learned, you know, that little voice, that little quiet one that's not real loud and noisy, like my own thoughts, like, I'm so hungry, you know, you're going to need your iPad. You know, it's that quiet one. That's usually how the way God speaks to me. Another song I wrote, we're going to skip Isaiah, is Where's Your Heart At? And so this was like a word to me, you know, God saying to me, Terry, where's your heart at? Where's your treasure lie? I hope it lies in me. And the words that are important in it is, where's your heart at when he's calling you to come and make a choice? Where's your thoughts when he speaks to you? Can you recognize his voice? Are they on the things that pass away or on the things to come? Where's your heart when he's calling you to come? And so that's an important thing to me is, do I recognize his voice? Do I think it's my own thoughts? And I think sometimes he speaks to us and we need to go to our pastor and say, this is what I think God's telling me to do. What do you think? And get some confirmation from somebody else. Pray about it, you know. But certainly give it some creed, you know, and prayer. And I'd like to end, everybody say, yay, with 1 Corinthians. And if you would turn there with me in your Bibles. For those of you that feel, there used to be a conference that the ladies would have for the unequipped, ill, do you guys know what that, you know that conference, they named it ill-equipped, unworthy, no good, you know, unqualified, yeah, that whole thing. And so if that's you and if you feel unequipped like I did to open a preschool, I sure had to learn the hard way. We're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so that's my heart, and that's not me, that's God, you know. The little lives that are touched every day, that is God's hand working through me and the teachers over there and all of you guys that have allowed us to take over that whole area over there. And I just thank you for it. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for such a privilege as this. I thank you for this congregation, God. And I ask that if somebody here, God, has heard your voice speak to them, that you would give them the courage, Lord, to do what you've asked them to do. That remind them that they are worthy. Through the blood of the Lamb, they are worthy and they are called and they have a purpose, and that you want what's best for them. And just thank you, God. Help us all to be obedient in our everyday lives, God. If you say, go speak to that person, go give that guy money, hug that person. They need that hug, God. I just ask that you help us be sensitive to your spirit and to your calling as those words come to us. We just give you all the praise and glory for everything that you're doing in this fellowship, in the lives of the people here, God. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.